Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and especially good morning to whoever is driving a blue Elantra, because your flashers are on, and you probably should go and figure that out. But yeah, blue Elantra is in the parking lot with their flashers on for anybody who drives that. But it's good to be here. My name is Kendall Albert, and I am the other Kendall. And, you know, there's Kendall Knight, and there's Kendall Albert, and I'm the other one. And, you know, last week was my birthday, and, you know, it was special. You know, all birthdays are special, and it was one of those. And we have this church staff text thread, and I got a birthday wish from Al Amin on that, and I thought I would read it to you. And Al Amin said, "Happy birthday, Kendall. So grateful to have you on our staff. It's honestly mind-blowing to see how you balance a full-time job, coaching, and ministry. I love your sense of humor, your strong convictions on every part of being essential, and about all of your football references. Our Thrive ministry wouldn't be the same without you. We got to go lift again sometime." It was so thoughtful and thought out. Sadly, that was to the other Kendall. And so if you haven't figured the difference between us two out, neither has Al Amin, and we hang out every single week. You know, today, the last couple weeks, we've been going through the book of Psalms. And so today we're going to be talking about Psalms of Praise. And since I heard a couple weeks ago that we were going through the Psalms, I started reading through them and listening to them through song and through my Bible app. And, you know, as I went through the Psalms, one of the things that stuck out was there are a lot of commands in the book of Psalms to praise God and give him thanks. You know, here are a few that I saw in Psalms 9. It says, "Sing praise to the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done." In Psalm 30, in verse 4, it says, "Sing praises to the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his name." In Psalm 33, 2, it says, "Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him with the 10-string lyre." In Psalm 68, it says, "Sing to God, you kingdom of earth. Sing praise to the Lord." Psalm 69, "Sing to God, sing praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord." Psalm 96 says, "Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day." Amen. Psalm 103, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name." And if you got a Bible, go to Psalm 148. This is not all the times that we're commanded and urged to praise the Lord. But here, Psalm 148 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all the shining stars. Praise him in the highest heavens, all the waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For at his command, they were all created. And he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all the cedars, the wild animals and all the cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above all the earth and heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Psalm 148, he's saying, praise God, but not just you, but everything. Everything in heaven and on earth and in the sea and on the, everything must praise God. You know, for me, I'm more of an intellectual thinker than an emotional thinker. And so as I read commands in Psalms and throughout the scriptures to praise God, I get confused. My wife wants to let you know that she does not get confused, that it makes sense to her. But to me, I'm like, why would God make me or need me to praise him? Right? Well, why would God say, you need to praise me? That seems pretty weird to me. Is he insecure? Does he need my praise and my affirmation? You know, I play fantasy football, and fantasy football is a game that people who no longer can play sports do to still enjoy things. And so I'm in a group chat with some people who are playing fantasy football, and it's real cool. We'll be talking about lots of different things. And, you know, we're talking about the Falcons or about, you know, what's going on in anything. But there's one guy in the group who, no matter what we're talking about, just wants to sneak in, because he's doing well this year. He wants to sneak in how great he is. We'll be like, man, Michael Penix is not having a good year this year. He's like, yeah, but my team is great. You know, oh, man, let's all go out and hang out over here. Hey, did you guys know that I won last week? You know, and he likes to keep bringing up out of nowhere with no context, hey, guys, I'm the best right now. And it makes me think, is this the way God is? Right? It's, yeah, hey, guys, I know you're doing this thing over here, but remember me. I need you to remember that I'm great. And as I read the scriptures, of course he doesn't need my praise. Of course he's not insecure. Psalm 50 in verse 12, God says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. He's like, there's nothing you can do for me. If I needed a snack, I wouldn't come to you because you couldn't help me out. You know, in Acts, it says that he created all things and he doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our worship. And so if he doesn't need us to praise him, then why would he command it? One of the things that I've learned and I've seen is that the praise and thanks to God is something that transforms my life. It's something that I need, not something that he needs. That at the end of the day, I need to praise God for me more than for him. And I want to take a step to the side. Last week we talked about lamenting in the Psalms. And so as we talk about praise and thanksgiving, I want to first say that is not a contradiction, or it's not in opposition to lamenting. That praising God and giving thanks is not simply about being positive or optimistic or thinking that everything's going to be great or even that everything is great. It is not about our circumstance. It's not, hey, things are going great, so now I'm going to praise God. But we are commanded to praise because it's something that transforms our mind, it transforms our heart. And actually, most of, if not all, of the laments in the Psalms end in praise and thanksgiving to God. That actually they work really, really well together. Praising God is about realigning the proper order of this universe within our minds. That God is great, and I am not. That he is in control, and I have none. That he protects, that he guides, that he controls all things. And I get to live in his protection and under his control. Amen. That I do not need to be the superpower, because he is. And when I praise God and when I lift him high and when I read the Psalms of praise, I'm reminding myself of the proper order of things. That it changes my mind and it changes my heart. You know, studies, it's amazing how studies and science are always kind of catching up to the Bible. And recent studies in universities at Harvard and other Ivy League places and other renowned and reputable institutions have found that giving praise and thanksgiving has extreme mental, emotional, and physical benefits in our life. That expressing gratitude and praise shows a significant increase in happiness, a significant reduce in stress and anxiety. It gives better sleep. It has better heart health. It gives you a stronger immune system, and you tend to live longer. Studies have also concluded that being grateful but not expressing it have significant negative impacts on our lives. It leads to depression, anxiety, feeling distant, feeling not ourselves. It gives us a lack of energy. And, you know, there are a few things in our life that have a significant of impact on who we are and how good our life is than expressing of praise and gratitude. It's easy to be like, well, I'm a grateful person, but if you're not expressing it, it's actually going to have a negative effect on your life. Wow. About 5-6 years ago, I decided to make a change in my life. And I decided, okay, my times with God, they've been great, but I need to do something more. And I decided that I was not going to do anything in my day before I gave praise to God. And then I wasn't going to do anything in my day after I praised God. So I started every morning before I got out of bed, before I looked at my phone. I try and do it before I look at the clock to see what time it is. I'm going to spend some time praising God. That I'm like, before I open my eyes, I need to spend time praising God. And then at night, what I do is I'll say goodnight to my wife. We'll be in bed. And then I will make my last thought, my last word, my last expression, one of praise and thanksgiving to God. And what I've seen in the last 6 years in my life is I feel like I'm happier. I feel like I sleep better. I have more energy in the day. I feel less stressed. I lost my notes. I used to have nightmares. My nightmares have basically gone away. It's amazing how this simple thing in my life, it transformed everything. That beginning and ending my day with, I'm just going to praise God, changed the way I slept, gave me better sleep. It's amazing how much it transforms our minds and our hearts. You know, within the last month, I worked with the college students, and there were a couple of guys that were, you know, one of them was feeling really overwhelmed with life, and one of them was feeling tired, and one of them was feeling depressed. And I was like, well, what if instead of finishing your day on your phone, you put your phone down and your last thought, your last 2 minutes is just praise to God? I was like, let's try it. And just do that for a few weeks and see if there's any difference in your life. One of those guys texted me 2 days later and said, I haven't felt this much energy in years. After 2 days of changing how he ends his day. You know, again, praise and thanksgiving, it's not about being optimistic, right? It's not just think better, right? Just ignore the bad things in your life. It's not at all like that. You know, for me, I'm not the most optimistic, you know, positively, you know, I'm not the golden retriever, you know? And that's not what it's about. It's about reordering things back to their rightful place. I remember when in 2017, was a rough summer. I don't know about what, so it was a really rough summer, and we were leading a campus ministry in a city, and in May, our bosses, at the end of May, they said, hey, we're resigning, effective immediately. So good luck. And we're like, cool. And then I looked at my wife, and I looked at there was another couple on staff. I go, I guess we're kind of it to kind of lead the church here. And then I looked at my wife again, and I was like, oh, and you're 9 months pregnant. And then I remembered that there was a conference that we were supposed to be planning that had not been planned yet, and it was starting in 6 weeks. And so I was like, okay. And then a couple weeks later, I had to drive and pick up one of our staff members and take him to the hospital. And then we had to relieve some staff members of some duties. We had to let them go because they did some things that deserved to be let go. And then we have Anna, which is amazing and wonderful. And 3 weeks later, I'm running a conference. And so at the hospital, we had her on a Monday. And that Monday, I held her, we gave her to the doctors to be clean, and I'm back at work in the hospital on my computer with no time off. So when we go, we plan this conference, I say, hey, can we have a week off for vacation? And they said, sorry, you can have an extended weekend. So we leave the conference, we have an extended weekend vacation, and which was already our day off anyway, and we come home, and our house had been broken into, and everything that was valuable in our life was taken, including our lawnmower and my unicycle and a loaf of bread, and they had broken open the door, and we were talking to the cops, and we're sitting there, and we're like, do you know who did it? And they're like, well, we can't prove anything, but it was them. And they pointed at the people who were watching all of it, who were our neighbors across the street. They're like, we're fairly certain it's them. And so, you know, of course, the dumb person I am, I went over and asked them. I was like, hey, did you guys rob my house? Which they all were like, oh, no, it wasn't me. It was definitely them. And, you know, it was a hard summer. And they couldn't fix our door for a few days. Like, it was still, like, broken open. And so it was kind of like we couldn't lock our door with our newborn 3-week-old baby. And I just remember my wife. And I think a lot of people would have been scattered and freaking out. And we're done. We're moving, right? Like, and all these things. And my wife can feel all of those things. But I remember her just being like, we're going to be okay. It's just, she was the first one, she goes, it's just stuff. If they're going to give us a new door, we will be okay. And she even encouraged me, one of those people who were living across the street, they were moving, and she's like, well, here, give them one of our blankets and help them move. And part of me was like, what happened to my wife? But it was amazing how over years of her realigning, giving praise to God, giving thanksgiving to God, that in the most difficult time, in a time that she should have been terrified and fearful, as she definitely was, she was able to stand firm because she had a God that was so great, that was greater than all of her gods. You know, I also, you know, when I think about this, I think about my dad. And, you know, my dad's one of my heroes. And growing up, that was the person I wanted to be, was my dad. And when I was born, my dad was a preacher. He was in the ministry. And then he was let go after 10 years of doing ministry, that he had to find a new career. And so growing up, for some reason, It was difficult for him to keep a job. He'd get a job and it'd be great, and then the company would go under, or you know, the economy would dip, and different things happen over my childhood. And I remember there were many times that I would sit there, and my dad would be 6 months or 3 months without a job as he's looking diligently. My dad's a very hard worker and he's a very talented man. And as a man, many of us can understand that can be a really challenging thing for men. Because much of our worth can come from what we do. And I remember, I think I was in high school, and it was one of the longer times that my dad was having a difficulty finding a job. And I remember that every morning, I'd wake up to go to school. We had school at 7 a.m., and my dad would be sitting on his reclining chair reading his Bible. Then he'd get up, he'd go to his room, and pray. And every morning, he was up at 7 a.m. or 6:30 in the morning, even though he had nowhere to go, realigning his heart, realigning his mind. And I remember asking my dad, "Dad, how do you feel?" And he said, "This has been one of the hardest times of my life." He's like, "Every day I spend 40 hours a week, every week looking for a job and nothing's..." He's like, "But through all of that, I never saw my dad get erratic. He never yelled at me. I never saw him yell at anybody. My dad was so secure in who he was because of who his God was. It was very obvious that through one of the hardest, through one of those hard times in life, that he was immovable because he had an immovable God that he praised and worshiped. I hope that as I am now a dad, that I can emulate my father in that way. That every morning waking up and praising God and realigning my heart and my mind. Because I know I need it. And the other thing I think about with this is right before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus says, "Should I be taken from this hour?" He goes, "For this hour is the reason I've come. Father, glorify your name." That even in the most challenging time for Jesus, when he could have been selfish, right? When he could have been like, "All right, I got to go through it." He could have just white-knuckled through it. That he was like, "No, this is going to bring you glory, God. Make this bring you glory." That he was lifting up God in the most challenging time of his life. And so right now, what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time and we're going to remember Jesus. And remember how Jesus, in the good times and in the worst times, he too went to the Psalms and glorified God and gave him thanks. And he reordered things back into their proper place. That God is great and we are not. Let's pray as we take communion. God, you are incredible. You created all of this, the heavens and the earth, and we are so lucky that we get to be able to know you. That your power and your might and your justice and your love and your grace and your mercy are without limits. They are beyond our understanding. God, we pray that your name will be lifted up. That we can remember Jesus as though he was equal to you. He did not consider that as something to be grasped, but he elevated your name. Thank you for sending him down. Thank you that we get to know you because of him. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.